In these challenging days, it's always nice to have something that brings a smile to your face, right? I read this the other day, and it brought a smile to my face. It says this: do not let them take your temperature going into the store. It's a scam. They're erasing your memory. I went in for bread and eggs, and I came home with Bluebell ice cream and Snickers candy bars. So there's just a warning, and you take it to heart if it applies. But in these challenging times, we do need an encouraging word. And how God's word always has an encouragement for us. I still am personally loving that daily Bible because it gives me a goal to read through my Bible during the year. And I just find sometimes I get a little bit behind, but I just keep working at reading through the scriptures. And I find every day when I'll humble my heart and say, God, I want to hear from you, God's always there. His Holy Spirit is always there to take the word and give me something fresh, something that will help me for that day. And then as I talk to God in prayer, that love relationship continues to grow. Even though we're going through unprecedented and challenging times, God doesn't change. He is the one faithful, unchanging in our life. And today we want to focus in on the topic of loyalty. That God wants to grow us into being loyal servants of Jesus. It's such a precious and rare gift. And it's a calling for every one of us who have named the name of Jesus, we who have accepted Jesus as Savior, for those who have not yet come to Christ, to come to faith in Him, and then realize that God can build in you a loyalty to God and to others that is truly from heaven. I think of the Apostle Paul in the Bible and how he was so loyal, even unto death, to Jesus. And he found joy in being loyal. Timothy was being mentored by Paul. He was wonderfully loyal to Jesus and to Paul, and they made a great team for God. Loyalty is allegiance. It's fidelity. It's a sense of duty and devoted attachment. And perhaps one of the opposites of loyalty is betrayal. And I think of Jesus pouring into the lives of his disciples, and then how it must have broken his heart when when Judas, for 30 pieces of silver, betrays Jesus. How that broke Jesus' heart. But then after the betrayal, all of the disciples forsook him. Now, we know that Judas never truly repented, but all of the other disciples, they repented. They failed, but they didn't let failure hold them down. And they got things right with God. They went on until they lived loyal lives of service for Jesus till the day God took them home to heaven. Can you remember times in your life when your heart just really broke? Because someone you loved dearly was not loyal. They weren't faithful. They weren't true. We should never forget those times and that hurt that that brought to us. Why? Because as Christians, we need to pray, God, help me never to bring that hurt to your heart. Help me to be a loyal, faithful follower of Jesus. Help me to grow into that. Humble faith in Christ grows believers into loyal servants of Jesus and of others. And as believers, those of us who've repented of our sin, trusted Christ as our Savior, we're not perfect, but thank God we are forgiven. And we have the precious promises of God to help us and sustain us. I think of Peter, who said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As a newborn baby, hunger after the pure milk of the word so that you can grow thereby. And so hopefully it would be the goal of every one of us. I want to be a growing Christian who's maturing into a loyal servant of Jesus. And I want that to be my life testimony by God's grace. During this time of testing, I recently heard a survey, and they were saying that Bible reading is up right now among non-believers. Well, it should be. I mean, the fear of death is a natural thing. Death isn't the way God created. God created us for life. Death is not a natural state, but it came because of sin. Physical death, spiritual death, eternal death. People should be thinking about eternity, don't you think? You know, people should be thinking, where would I spend eternity if I die? And if a person is not certain, the wisest thing in the world would be to get into God's word and find out God's answers to that question. But unfortunately, I heard, I hope this survey isn't true, that Bible reading among Christians is down. Now, that doesn't compute. I hope the survey's wrong. But it may be that the discombobulation in our schedules, people not being encouraged regularly in church by gathering, that among believers there's come a discouragement. And people have just, in many cases, neglected the Word of God at a time when we should even be the more in the Word of God. And so I want to encourage us today to be growing believers who are becoming more and more faithful, and that these challenging times would not discourage our heart to where we would wander from the Lord, but these challenging times would challenge our heart. That more than ever, I need God, and I want to draw close to God. I want to see God working in my life. Well, we've been focused in Philippians. If you'll turn there to chapter 2 with me as we prepare our hearts for the communion today. And we've been looking at this truth that there is lasting joy. Joy in sacrificial service for God and others. And in the previous week, we looked at the fact that Jesus is the perfect example, isn't he? Remember Philippians chapter 2, and we went through that passage. Jesus, who is the triune God, the Alpha and Omega up there at the top of our stained glass window, he stepped down from heaven's glories. Philippians 2:5, let this mind, this attitude be in you as a follower of Jesus, the same mind Jesus has. Well, what's that mind? That being in the form of God, being fully God, deity, he humbled himself. He came to earth as a human being. A man, that was a great humility. But having done that, he humbled himself further and he became a servant. And having a servant, he humbled himself further and he went to the cross and he died as the sacrificial lamb for our sins. And then that passage, as you know, in verses 10 and 11 says, wherefore God has highly exalted him. Because he humbled himself, God the Father exalts Jesus to the right hand of the Father. One day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so what is God saying? That's the mind God wants us to have, a mind of humility, a mind that says, I want to humble myself to serve and glorify God and to meet the needs of others. So this is the mind that God is teaching us, that there's joy. The world can't compute this, that there could be joy in giving your life away. But that's exactly what Jesus teaches us. He is the supreme example. Out of the infinite mind of God in eternity past, the plan was made for Jesus to be the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. That his blood shed would wash away our sins. And he humbled himself. And in humbling himself as a servant, he was loyal to the plan of the triune God from eternity past and fulfilled completely the scriptures, was crucified, buried, and rose again in victory. And so this was for the joy that was set before. Remember the Hebrews passage, Hebrews 12:2, that for the joy that was set before Jesus, he endured the cross. Well, what was the joy? Well, at least part of the joy was he knew he would be resurrected from the grave. He knew that through our faith in him as believers, we would be eternally united with God in heaven forever. And there would be this fellowship and this worship of him, this joy that you feel and I sense when we're worshiping God here together. This is just the beginning. We're going to be worshiping God for eternity. And so this was the joy that was set before Jesus. And it's the joy we have even when we're going through difficult times. You know what? Yes, if Jesus tarries in his return, one day I'll die. This physical body will die, but my spirit will go to be with God. And I will one day have a resurrection body. And I will glorify, serve, and be fulfilled in meaningful world without a curse and without the fall, a new heaven and new earth. And even on this earth, I'll get to serve and rule and reign with Jesus for the joy that's set before us. We have joy before us. We know how it all comes out. And it brings joy to our hearts, even as Jesus, for the joy that was set before him. So he's the perfect example. But then we've been talking last week about a sermon in sandals. And this is part two of that message. That is, we look at Jesus, and yes, he's the infinite God. He's perfect, but you know, I'm a flawed sinner. Can God work through my life? And God says, yes, he can. And God gives us these examples, sermons in sandals. People like us, fallen sinners who've repented, believed, and received Jesus. And God works through our failures and lifts us back up, and he encourages us daily. He strengthens us, and he uses us for his glory. And so God says, here are some examples that you can look at to be encouraged and model their faith, follow in their steps. And so last week we looked at lasting joy seen in Paul's sufferings. Remember that in Philippians 2:17? He said, yes, if I, Paul, be offered up upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, he's writing to the Philippians, I joy and rejoice. And so we said last week that Paul was teaching using the picture, if I be offered up on the sacrifice that you are making. He's talking about a drink offering in the Old Testament from the book of Exodus. And this drink offering would be poured on the top of an animal sacrifice. And this wine was poured out in front or upon the animal sacrifice. And as the steam vaporized and ascended up, it symbolized a sacrificial offering to God. So the picture Paul is taking here is this. He says, you know what? You, Philippians, now living for Jesus as converted Christians, a local church that loves God, loves missions, loves spreading the gospel around the world, you're back here supporting me in house arrest. On your larger sacrifice, I just offer up my life as the drink offering on your sacrifice, and I joy to do it. See, Paul took joy in serving the church of Jesus Christ. He took joy in serving the servants of God in local churches who were being faithful to Jesus. That's what his life was all about. He realized when he died, he couldn't take chariots with him. He couldn't take bank accounts with him. He couldn't take material things with him. He was putting his treasure up in heaven. And he said, the joy of my life is to serve you and see God bringing fruit through you as a body of believers. That joy just brings joy to my heart. So we see joy in Paul's life. But then we also saw lasting joy seen in the Philippians, their lives and their giving. Because he says, I offer up this drink offering, this sacrifice, on the sacrifice and service of your faith. And you have joy. So, see, it was mutual. And the Philippians, their heart attitude is, we love seeing the gospel go to other places. And we love sending this love gift through Epaphroditus to Paul there and have Epaphroditus come and help him when he's in house arrest. We just love spreading the good news of Jesus around the world. And we find joy in making the sacrifice of our lives, our giving, our living, our praising God. It brings joy to us. And you know, we say the same thing as the local church today, don't we? That we get to be part of God's kingdom work. And so we're finding joy when we hear from the Pierces of God's faithfulness in Ghana and then in Brazil. And the souls that have been saved. Just think, one day when we get to heaven, we're going to get to meet people, the Stinson serving in Canada. We're going to get to meet people from Africa, from Canada, and from Brazil. And we prayed for those missionaries as they spread the gospel. God bless the seed. Souls have been saved. And we all got to be part of that. And we're going to meet those people one day in heaven. What a joy that is to our hearts. And so that was the attitude of the Philippians. They were rejoicing over what God was doing. And let me say, I believe as a body of believers here at Calvary, we are rejoicing in what God is doing. And now over 50 people have come to faith in Jesus and made profession of faith through this whole flood effort. As a church, this body of believers has reached out and hundreds of sheets of drywall have been delivered. Hundreds and hundreds of hours have been donated in helping others, both from this church and people all over, Christians all over the country who've come. But in the follow-up, even since our Samaritan's Purse ministry left, there's continuing opportunities for helping people. And it's a joy. It's a joy. God is at work. And what a blessing. The potential for reaching more young people. Do you think there's a great need for a God-centered worldview today with youth? Do you think young people need to be taught a God-centered? I do, more than ever, okay? Well, what a blessing to find out last week and share with the church that the facilities at Midland Christian, a second gym and 16 added classrooms are now going to be available for our ministries to use here through Calvary. Folks, that's something we'd been praying about, an architect looking at how to build a gym and more classrooms. And now, half a block away, God has provided that. Now, it's a step of faith to receive that because we got to take care of it. We got to maintain it. But we believe God's in it. And we believe God, even in difficult times, can work good things. And Paul believed that. And he wasn't discouraged, though he's sitting under house arrest, because he knows the gospel's not bound. And he is team effort, working with a team of people, serving God in Philippi, around the world. His heart is filled with joy. Well, that brings us to our text today. And that is lasting joy seen in Timothy's loyal service. Timothy is another one of these sermon in sandals. He's a guy you can look at, and guess what? He's just like you and me. Paul, toward the end of his ministry, with a mentored guy who is faithful and solid as a rock, he's encouraging him. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and sound mind. Timothy was human. He had fears that came into his life, but he was learning how to handle those fears, how to process and work through those fears and cast those cares on the Lord and trust in God. And Paul was still mentoring Timothy till the day Paul went home to heaven. Well, here's Paul's testimony about a loyal servant of God. Let's look at these words. Let's say, God, how can this apply to my life? How can I become a more loyal, faithful servant of God like Timothy was? Let's look at the verses, think about them together this morning as we prepare our hearts for communion. Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 19. But I trust, Paul said, in the Lord to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. That is, he would go find out how they're doing and come back and bring the good report of how God was continuing to work in their lives. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, as soon as I shall see how it go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Now, Timothy, his mom and grandma were Jewish background believers in Jesus. And they taught him faith in Jesus from his youth. Remember 2 Timothy 3:15? From a youth, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise to salvation. So Timothy came to faith in Jesus as his personal Savior. Then he grew in that faith, and he grew into a faithful, loyal servant of God. And with this bicultural background, his father being Greek, it really set him up to be able to relate to people in different cultures and different backgrounds. So God has a purpose in everything in our lives. Now, I want us to see just some simple things Paul points out about this faithful servant, Timothy. Let's look at them and apply them to our own lives. Number one, a loyal servant is rare and willing to serve. He says, Paul, I trust in the Lord to send Timothy to you, for I have no man like-minded. He knew that there was a need for the Philippians, and he wanted to meet that need. He wished he could go, but he couldn't. And so he said, I got to look for somebody who can go do the ministry that I would love to do, but I can't. When you love people, you want to be with them. You want to gather. You want to see spiritual progress. And he knew, Paul did, that there was some struggling going on in the church. There were a couple prominent believers who were having a disagreement, and it was causing some friction in the church. He also knew that there were some false teachers coming in with a false gospel, a salvation of works, of earning your way to heaven rather than grace through faith in Christ. So he knew that the church needed some strengthening and some helping. And Paul wanted so much to go there and minister to them himself. But he couldn't go. He was under house arrest in Rome. He knew that he could die, but he felt like he was going to get released, and he did. He ended up getting released and served further, and then he ended up in a further later prison imprisonment when he did die as a martyr. So no one person can do everything. That's why we all have different gifts. Everybody in the body's needed. You know, you may think, there's no way I can serve. Oh, yes, there are many ways you can serve God. And so Paul understood that we make disciples and we encourage Spirit-led believers to find out what their gifts are and use their gifts. Because so much more can be done when the body works together, as a body, as a team. So he had been mentoring Timothy and several others. And he had already dispatched two other servant leaders to go to other places to minister. The church at Philippi, he became aware, had these needs. Epaphroditus had arrived and given an update about the church. He'd come an 800-mile journey. Now, remember, back then, an 800-mile journey wasn't you get on an airplane and you're there, okay? You're going over land and sea in an 800 one-way journey. That's a big deal. It's a big, arduous labor of love, okay? So the church sent Epaphroditus with money to support Paul. And now Paul was saying, I'm going to send Timothy all the way back 800 miles to check up on how you're doing. And then bring me back a report of how you're doing so I can rejoice in what God is doing. Do you get the picture here now? Paul is saying, I know Timothy will go. It's not an if or maybe. You have a need, I'm going to send Timothy. What makes a good servant? It's this heart that I'm willing. I'm just willing to do whatever needs to be done. Timothy had that. It's a rare, rare, precious commodity, a servant's heart. He was just willing, willing to serve. Second thing, he was like-minded. Do you see that in verse 20? I have no man like-minded. Now, there were other pastors in Rome and other servants of God. Paul talks about them in the book of Philippians. Some were preaching Christ out of envy of Paul. They envied Paul's special privileges and how God was using him as an apostle. And so they were preaching, but their motives weren't right. It was out of envy. But you know what? Paul had a gracious spirit. He just said, when Christ is preached, I rejoice. Whatever the motive is, I leave that with God. I'm just glad when Christ is preached. So he had a humble heart. And Paul rejoiced that Christ is being proclaimed. Paul never claimed to be perfect. He said in this book, I press on. I haven't fully attained. This isn't earning heaven, but it's growing to be like Christ. And Paul wasn't claiming to be 100% like Christ. He knew he was a work in progress, as is every believer. But Paul did invite Timothy, follow me as I follow Christ. He was sincere. He was genuine. And he said, whatever you see in my life that's following after Christ, you follow after that. Follow me as I follow Christ. And so the word here for like-minded in verse 20 means one-souled, kindred spirit. And so it was Timothy just had a heart for Paul and a heart for the gospel. And he said, Paul, what do you need done? I'll do it. And he traveled with him all through the second missionary journey, going from place to place, serving together in the ministry, joyful to be a support to the leadership of Paul. You know, it takes a lot of grace and humility to serve on a team. And sometimes you wear different hats. Sometimes you may be in charge of the team and you're leading and you think, boy, I always want to be the leader. And then you find out you become the leader and I didn't know there were all these pressures. See, maybe I don't want that hat now, okay? But it takes grace both ways, to be a leader on a team and to be a supporter on a team. It takes grace both ways because we're all imperfect people. And so Timothy had humility, and he found joy in complimenting and assisting Paul as he led the team. Paul was an apostle. He had a special calling from God. So ministry teams require leaders and supporters in all venues of life. In your home, in your family, there have to be some leadership. Then there has to be a team of people supporting. And a wise person learns to put their hats on and off. That I'm flexible, I'm willing when God calls me to be the leader to step up and be a humble leader who will listen and take counsel, but then make decisions that need to be made. And then they learn to take that hat off and say, now I'm not in charge now, and I'm here and I'm going to do everything I can to support the person God has put in charge. You get the picture? That's what made this team so effective. They were willing to work together as a team, and that happens in good families, that happens in good churches, that wisdom. Paul knew that he could send Timothy to Philippi, and the same doctrine would be taught as if Paul came. He knew that the same love of Jesus would be shared as if Paul were there. There was no competition. There was no conflict. There was complimenting. You know why? Because Timothy decided he would serve that way. He decided in his heart. He decided to be a team player, and God used him mightily. A loyal servant is like-minded. Number three, a loyal servant is compassionate, sincerely caring for others. Look at verse 20, who will naturally care for your state. In sending Timothy, Paul knew through years of serving together during that second missionary journey that Timothy's heart was filled with the love of God. He had compassion. He sincerely cared about the needs of others. And it was such a joy to hear of the good reports here in our own church. I am so thankful for the team of servant leaders God's raised up here. One report after another from Samaritan's Purse coming in, many of you served with that or helped in one way or another. People from the community said, it's just such a blessing. Nobody's coming in asking for anything, they're just coming to help. That's so unusual in today's world. And then I've been overjoyed over the years, the privilege to be part of Calvary and get these reports back from the community of people who had kids in our Christian school. People had kids in Upward Basketball or Awana in some ministry here. And they just said, you know what? People here at Calvary love our kids. They love our family. What a testimony that is when, by God's grace, it's true, it's all by God's grace. But I'm so thankful that we get those kind of reports, and that was the kind of report Paul could give of Timothy. Well, a loyal servant is compassionate, truly caring for others because of the love of God in their own heart. Number four, a loyal servant is unselfish. You see that in verse 21? For all seek their own, not the things that are Jesus Christ. Now, because of the fall, we all have this propensity to be selfish and self-centered. That's why God says, don't have that mind, have the mind of Christ who humbled himself. And God exalted him and used him to accomplish God's glory and God's purposes. But this was Paul's remark here, is all seek their own, not the things of Christ. It's a rare thing to find a servant-hearted person. In this unselfishness that was in Paul, see, the natural thing of our own humanness is to be selfish. We all tend to do what furthers our cause, our agenda. It's a rare thing to find a person who's unselfish and says, I truly just want to be a channel of God's agape, unselfish love to others. I want to genuinely seek to meet the needs of others. Where does that kind of love come from? Well, it comes from above. It comes from the Alpha and Omega. For God so loved the world, agape love, that he gave. What is the greatest love? That a man would lay down his life for his friends. This kind of genuine love. Now think about it. You go into a good business, you go have a good waiter or a waitress, a good business owner, they will meet your needs. They will serve you. They will serve you. And there's nothing wrong with capitalism and making a living for your family. But what's our ultimate motive? Well, oftentimes, it's simply still a selfish motive. There's nothing more than that. I will meet your need because I will receive a benefit back. The world understands that, and it kind of revolves around some of those principles. What's really unusual is you come across somebody, and they pour out unselfish love and say, I don't require anything back. God has so loved me, I choose to love you. That's the unusual thing. The world can't compute that. That didn't make sense to unsaved people. What's in it for you? You know, what are you going to get out of this? And so Timothy had that kind of love. And that is the love, the fruit of the Spirit, shed abroad in our hearts. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And that was being poured out through Timothy, and it had been proven out in their travels when he'd ministered together with Paul. So Paul knew that when Timothy arrived at Philippi, that kind of unselfish, sympathetic love that says, I'll take time to listen to you. I'll take time to work hard to try to meet your need because God's put a love in my heart for you. He knew that would be true. A loyal servant is unselfish. Am I unselfish? Are you? Well, we all can grow in that area, can't we? God, let me grow in agape love. Then a loyal servant is battle-tested, proven character. Look at verse 22. But ye know the proof of him. Now, why could he say that? Well, guess who was on that missionary journey that founded the church in Philippi? Timothy was there. So they knew Timothy. They knew him from the beginning when they were converted, and Lydia trusted Christ, and the Philippian jailer. See, God was working, and now they had a proof of a man who now they had known when he had come to visit with Paul, that this man is proven. He's been faithful to go wherever Paul went, he would go and serve with him. When there was a need, he would show up. And when Paul's in house arrest in Rome, who's there? Timothy's there. He is this proven, battle-tested servant of the Lord. A loyal servant is faithful, proven, battle-tested. Number six, a loyal servant is loyal, serving as a son with a father. Do you see that in verse 22? But ye know the proof of him, as a son with a father, he has served with me in the gospel. So in the beginning of the letter of the book of Philippians, it starts off like this in verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Jesus Christ. So Paul viewed himself and Timothy as co-laborers. We're bond servants together. At the same time, what a wonderful testimony that he could say of Timothy, that Timothy served with me as a son with his father. Again, there was no comparison. There was no envy. There was no competition. There was just joy in serving Jesus in a team ministry to which he and Paul had been called to serve together. Someone has said there's no limit to what God can do through someone who doesn't care who gets the credit. They only want God to get the glory. And John picked up that heart, didn't he, in John 3? He said, he must increase, I must decrease. It isn't all about me, it's all about Christ. And I want Christ to be glorified. Well, that was the testimony that Timothy had, a proven testimony of loyalty, serving as a son with a father. Lastly, a loyal servant is partnered in the gospel. Do you see that in verse 22? He has served with me in the gospel. Why all these travels? Going from place to place, sometimes shipwrecked, sometimes hungry. They didn't have MasterCard and Visa. They just depended on God for their food and their transportation. They went from place to place. Sometimes they were rejected. Sometimes they were persecuted. Why this kind of a life of sacrifice that Timothy joined with Paul in this? It was for the sake of the gospel. You see, Timothy believed what you and I believe, what Jesus said. What does it profit if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul? And so his whole life was wrapped up in helping people come to know Jesus as their Savior. It doesn't profit anything if you gain the whole world, but you die and your soul is separated from God. People need the Lord. And I care about that. And Timothy did. And he partnered up with Paul and others to serve the Lord. He believed the words of Paul in Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God, the dynamite of God, the dunamis. And it's the power unto salvation. It saves souls. It delivers souls. That those of us who will repent of our sin, believe Christ died, was buried, and rose again in our place, are forgiven. We're given eternal life. What more precious gift is there than that? Timothy was committed to that gospel message. I was so excited this last week. I'd heard about some of the young men who had been around during the flood, and they accepted Jesus. One of our staff members here led them to Christ and heard now they're starting to come to youth group and starting to learn and grow more in their faith. And I got to meet some of those young men this last week, and it just brought joy to my heart. It brought joy to my heart. There is no greater joy than to come to Jesus and then to see others come to Jesus. And I thank God to see people then who come to Jesus grow in Jesus. I'm thankful we're starting up these discipleship classes to get new believers grounded in the Word of God so they can grow in their faith to find the joy of the Lord and find the strength of the Lord for daily living. And so what a privilege it is for us as a family together to bring the good news of Jesus into a world that needs hope. The love of Jesus into our community through missions and worldwide missions, through our radio and TV, through the daily lives and lips of believers who have the light of life shining in us. Well, Paul closed with these words. He said, him, Timothy, verse 23, I hope to send presently as soon as I shall see how it will go with me, but I trust in the Lord that I myself shall come shortly. You see, Paul's heart was to be with the people he loved. That's the heart we have too. We love to gather together. We pray for safety, and that's why we try to practice the things that we can to keep each other safe. But we know we need to worship together. We need to encourage each other. We need to make disciples. And whatever happens in the world, the command from God doesn't change to worship God, to make disciples, to serve God. And so let's take these things to heart as we come to the communion. Here's Paul's testimony about Timothy, that he was a loyal servant who did what he could to love believers and non-believers for Christ's sake. Think about these things that we've just reviewed. Are these things in my life? Where could these things be strengthened in my life? Am I willing to serve? Am I like-minded? Am I compassionate, sincerely caring for others? Am I unselfish? Am I becoming battle-tested and proven in character? Am I loyal, serving as a son with a father? Am I partnered in the gospel? As we come to partake of the communion, let's remind ourselves we're going to partake of the juice and the bread, picturing the broken body of Jesus and his blood shed as a sacrifice and the payment for sin. The wages of sin is death. Christ took our death. He died in our place. There's only one atoning sacrifice, and that's Jesus. That's why he could say truthfully, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Have you come to the Father through Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus? In a moment, we'll have a time of prayer. If you have never repented and trusted Jesus to be your personal Savior, I want to encourage you, this would be the time. Today is the day of salvation. Call on the Lord Jesus and ask Him to save you. Timothy clearly did what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says. Once we believe on Jesus, God calls us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. That is because of all He's done for us. We say, Lord, I don't want to live for my purposes anymore. I want to live for You. I will do Your will. You know better than anyone else who I ought to marry, what my vocation or career should be. You know the gifts. You know how You've wired me. The wisest thing I can do is lose my life to You. The Bible says if you keep your life, you lose it. If you lose your life to Christ, you find it. That's exactly true. And so if you are a believer in Christ, I challenge you as we come to the communion and think about the sacrifice of Jesus, that He gave everything for us. If you have not sincerely come to God and said, God, I surrender myself lock, stock, and barrel to You, my body, my soul, my mind, my future, I'm Yours. Make that surrender today. Just say, God, in light of the mercies of God, the least I can do is give You my life. I give it back to You. I want to find my life in Your will. And then let me say this. Part of being that living sacrifice means you then become committed to be growing in grace. That you are growing to become more like Christ day by day. Humble faith in Christ grows the believer into being a loyal servant of Jesus and others. Am I growing? Am I maturing in Christ-likeness? If not, what needs to change? Is there stubbornness or rebellion or pride in my heart? I need to confess that and forsake that and ask God to give me grace. Are there sins that need to be confessed? Is there obedience that needs to be exercised in my life? Ask God to work in you to give you the will and then the power to do His will. For you will find your life when you lose your life to Christ. Timothy did. I love the quote from Spurgeon. Many of our fears arise from our neglect of the Bible. Now more than ever, people need hope. We who are believers, we need to have hope in our lives. We have to so be in touch with Jesus that we're like Paul and we grow and mature to the place where we say, like Paul, I'm not afraid to die. Why? I'm trusting Christ. I'm not going to grieve or worry about the future. One day I may die. That'll be fine. You know why? Because to be absent from my body is present with the Lord, and to be with Christ is far better. I'm not going to fear. I'm going to live in faith. And so he says in Philippians 1, my purpose in life is that Christ be magnified in my body by life or by death. Either way, I want to glorify God. I'm not going to live in fear. I'm going to live in faith. We need to mature into that kind of living, living by faith. Paul did. He encouraged Timothy to do the same. And so we need to grow and refuse to live in fear, refuse to live in fear of the unknown, refuse to live in fear of the future, but stand on the promises of God. As Paul said in Romans 8, nothing can separate the believer in Jesus from the love of God. Nothing. And as my father often would remind us, he said, you may shake on the rock, but the rock under you won't ever shake. God will hold you fast. Well, as we come to prayer, like Timothy, a humble servant leader, who are you called to partner with? Under whose authority are you? In a home, in a family, in a local church? Are you serving faithfully? Where are areas you've been called to be a leader and be an authority? Are you being a servant leader like Jesus? Are you loving? Are you working together as a team? Shine the light. We, as a Calvary family, we're called to shine the light brightly in a dark world. Here's Timothy, and Paul said, I can count on him. I need somebody to go a 100-mile trip one way. He'll go. He'll do it. He has a servant's heart. Do I have that kind of heart? Do you? It means as we come to the communion, we need to be examining ourselves and saying, Lord, do I have that servant's heart? When You prompt me and You say to me, make that phone call, make that visit, send that letter, bake those cookies, go volunteer to help in that food distribution, go help to volunteer in that discipleship class, go share the gospel with that neighbor. When the Spirit prompts, do I obey? That's what God wants. Timothy grew into that kind of person where when the Spirit would lay something on his heart, and you know what? As God lays things on our hearts, we just need to be obedient to God. The maniac at Gadara was converted, and boy, did he want to go on the road with Jesus. He said, let me go with you. And Jesus said, no, the place I want you to serve is right back here where they know you. That's my will for you. And he stayed, and he ministered right back there at home. On the other hand, God said to Timothy, I want you to partner up with Paul. You're going to go all over the world serving me. And Timothy said, I'll go. God wants all of us to get to that point where we'll say, God, I'll do whatever you want. If you want me to shine right here in mid-Michigan, I'm going to shine right here in mid-Michigan. And if you call me to go to Brazil, I'll go. And if you call me to go to Canada, I'll go. Lord, send me anywhere. Only go with me. I love the words of that song. David Livingstone had that heart. He was a missionary to Africa. Very talented, gifted man. He could have had an easy life. He had a challenging life, and he found joy in it because he knew it was God's will for him. He wrote these beautiful words that picture well the heart of Timothy, and it was the heart of David Livingstone, who saw many, many people come to faith in Africa. O Lord, since thou hast died to give thyself for me, no sacrifice could be too great for me to make for thee. I only have one life, and that will soon be passed. I want my life to count for Christ. What's done for him will last. I follow thee, my Lord, and glory in thy cross. I gladly leave the world behind and count all gain as loss. Lord, send me anywhere. Only go with me. Lay any burden on me. Only sustain me. Sever any tie, save the tie that binds me to thy heart. Lord Jesus, my King, I consecrate my life, Lord, to thee. God help us to be loyal servants of Jesus.